by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Good morning, everybody. We are continuing our series on building the house of God. This is lesson 8. Spiritual warfare against the formation of the stones, or the formations of stone, part 1. By God's grace, we thank God for how the Lord has led our daddy, Pastor Mika, to turn this teaching that happened during Canada School of the Spirit into a lesson. And as Pastor has said, which is so true, if we are able to get this as a foundation, if the body of Christ, Pastor said that if this kind of teaching is what should enter the church should be made aware of this, the whole theme. I think the whole theme of this lesson is the emphasis on spiritual growth. Can we say amen? Let's say growth again. One of the issues that Christianity has faced is that Christianity has not, okay, let me say recent time, has not so much emphasized growth the way it is emphasized in scriptures and epistles. Growth is integral. It's an integral part of any form of life. And Christianity is life. Or Christian, when Jesus Christ came, he came to institute life. And if he came to institute life, one of the characteristics of life is that it grows. It can grow. Of course, growth has different stages and it also has its different levels of opposition. There's no growth that's have any kind of some kind of opposition. So one of this topic is going to be dealing with the oppositions we face, the kind of warfare that is against spiritual growth. There is warfare. We will not say there's no warfare. There's warfare. But the manner of warfare is what we are trusting the Lord will help us understand. And if we understand it, then we'll be able to fight intelligently. Let's say amen. Are we together, please? Okay, let's read our memory track. It says, in our last study, we, by the grace of God, were able to see the various stages of spiritual development, of the spiritual development of Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing to remember and hold strong in our hearts and our minds that Jesus grew. Jesus was not, as Pastor A.Y. taught us yesterday at Revelation Hour, awesome meeting, please, you should listen to that message. Jesus was not made so. Jesus was not made so. And because he wasn't made so, we who are followers of him as well will also not just be made so. We will all wish that we were made so. I wish I wake up one day and all my infirmities are gone. Everything that's separating me from life and immortality has disappeared, and I just wake up in glory. That is a pipe dream. That is wishful thinking. If it didn't happen that way for Jesus, there's no miracle, there's no arrangement in heaven that the Lord has left for that to happen to anybody. We must all grow. Tell your neighbor, I must grow. Say it again, I must grow. And the pattern son, the person whom which we are following, he grew. So we saw that last week. We saw how his natural growth divinely coincided with his maturation in the spirit. That is very important. We saw that last week, how Jesus being a baby, Jesus being a child, Jesus being a young man, that was a natural trajectory in life, but it also spoke of his, you know, that there's a scripture that says, as your years, so shall your strength be. Nobody typified that better than Jesus. As Jesus grew physically, he also grew spiritually. How I wish that was my own case. So by my age now, I would have been an eternal person. Because Jesus, by 33 and a half years, was already crossed into glory. But with us who are born on this side of eternity, the same way Jesus was born, ours was not the case. In that day, from the day we were born, we did not start an upward mobile journey in the spirit. We didn't. From the day we were physically born. That's why we had to be what? Born again. Somebody say born again. So that born again depicts the beginning of our journey in spirituality. And we are supposed to also grow, but we are always with so much opposition, so much against our growth, as it were. And we don't have the kind of intelligence, as it were, that Jesus had. We have the same opportunities, but not the same kind of intelligence. So our response rate is not the same as Jesus. But there's still hope for us to respond. Let's say amen. We are supposed to respond. So, but the last week's study was just to help us understand and know that as Jesus grew, we are also supposed to grow. Jesus Christ did not just happen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did not just happen. It was a painstaking process, precept upon precept, line upon line, that the Master, our Father, led our Master Jesus through. And Jesus obeyed and he became. Amen. Why it was a miracle is that flesh learned spirit and became spirit. Spirit learned divine life and became divine. And the divine life learned and laid hold on eternal life. That is the trajectory of Jesus. And that is supposed to be all our own spiritual path or spiritual journey as well. So we saw that last week. This was for Emmanuel. This was indicative of how we also are meant to mature from baby Christians, grass or carnal Christians, through all our spiritual development stages at the various stones and end up with God. Let's say amen. So that is our story. So this is my story. Say, this is my story. This is my story. This is my song. This is a song that they are going to sing about me. How TJ came from grass to stone and stone to the fullness of God. That is my path. That is my life. Every other thing is secondary. Amen? Okay, so today we are looking at spiritual warfare against the formation of stones. Our first topic is, want to understand what Christ is. I didn't say who now. I said what. Because Christ was first of all a what. Now I say what. What in our own sphere as human beings is something inanimate. You can say what, stone, what, speaker. And we say who, a human being, right? I think we understand that. But it's not the same in the spirit. What in the spirit is more alive than who here? What in the spirit is more alive than who in the physical? Because in the realm of the spirit, now, don't get me wrong, please. I'm talking about this realm of spirit on the side of God. Because we know the realm of spirit is not entirely clean. Let's say amen. How do I know? Our enemy is spiritual. I know we do that, right? So when you say spirit, realm of the spirit, there are some murky waters. But in the pathway to God, everything around the Lord, when you hear lightnings, thunderings, voices, one of the limitations of the carnal mind is that, or the natural mind, is that you think of those things as lightning, as we have lightning, flashes of lightning. We have thunders, we have it in the natural. They are living forces. They are more alive. That thunder is more alive than a baby that is born here. So when we say, what is Christ? Don't be offended. Say, we are calling Christ a what. No, that what is more alive than we have be made to understand. So let's, but since it's something that came from the recesses of God Himself, then of course we know it has to be living. Amen. Okay. Let's read from Emmanuel's. The word Christ, we shall come to our text. The word Christ means he who has access to the Father. Let's say amen. Christ is the power to access God, to access God. So when I say what, when I say Jesus Christ, the power of God, or the Christ, the wisdom of God, which is that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24, says, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God. So Christ is power. Say it with me, Christ is power. Now it's power for what? Because when we think of power as natural people, we think of energy to do stuff. When you think of power in the natural, you think of, someone has ability, he can lift. Somebody lifts a chair. This person is powerful. But in the realm of the spirit, where you need the most power, the most powerful person is the person that can approach the realms unseen. The person that can enter into those realms and still have faculties. You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high, and his faculties are intact. As in, he is not melted. That's how you know a powerful person. A powerful person is not a person that has power. A powerful person in the spirit is not one who who cast out demons. I know we will all naturally think that someone that cast out demons is powerful, but Jesus Christ told us in scripture, it is the sign of them that believe. It's just the beginning of it. You can be entirely powerless in the spirit and cast out devils. How do I know? One of the weakest people in the spirit, Judas, who was listening to Satan steady, had power to cast out devils. He was part of the 12, he was part of the 70 that were sent out, that came back with testimonies. But in the realm of the spirit, even demons do not count that one so much as power. Check the response of demons to Jesus. They all ask, have you come to torment us before our time? Now, when we think of that torment, we think it's the torment is the leaving of a body. No, that's not it. There's power in Jesus to torment them. Now, that torment is not the one that Nollywood and all those movies have helped to make us believe that that's torment. When they are coming out, they're in agony. And they come out and say, yes, I've tormented him. Or say, before he goes out, row. And he rolls, yes, you are that's not how to torment. There is torment that only a carrier of light can institute upon them. And they saw him. They discerned this one as the ability to torment us. So they were like, have you come to torment us before our time? Now that is power. I know someone would like that. Yes, I want to torment the devil. Do you know the easiest way to torment the devil is to obey God? If you want to torment spirits, obey God. There's nothing more tormentuous or tempestuous to them than you joining out of what they have arranged for you. That's agony. They were gnashing their teeth. I can't. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus, Romano said, Christ is he that has access to God. So accessing God is power. Say it with me, accessing God takes power. That is power. I want us to allow to, if God can help us, let our minds be renewed. When we think of power, there's a way we all think of power. We think of anointing. They are not synonymous. You can be heavily anointed and not be powerful at all. You can be heavily anointed and lack power in the spirit. Praise the Lord. He is the one that God approves to come to him. Like I said earlier, the way you need the most power as a human being is to approach God. You are trudging uphill against forces. Everything is pushing against you and you're able to muster strength against it. You're a powerful person. So the concept of Christ is not altogether new to the angelic creation. Moving on. So Christ was a vehicle, or Christ was an operation that God created so that man would have access to God. Christ was God's joker. Christ was God's joker that you know, we've been taught, when Adam was made, Adam was not made in the region of Christ. Adam was made in the region everlasting. When they made Adam so, I made him a little lower than angels. They made him in the realm everlasting. So the operation of Christ was not something that was revealed. It was not even necessary. If Adam did not fall, Adam would have continued to journey, even though he had a limitation of the natural. But the way of the tree of life was to remove that limitation. So he was able to journey out of his present natural, spiritually natural state into the fullness of divine life and then end up eating the fruit and become a partaker of eternal life. Let's say amen. So that was the plan of God for Adam. But Adam fell. Now Adam fell to a region of the dead that needed a bridge. And that bridge was in God. The bridge was the wisdom to connect a dead spirit back to its maker. That wisdom takes a power that only God had. And God looked, okay, this power needs to be manifest, brought to bear upon the face of the earth. How will we do it? And they had a discussion amongst the Trinity. And one of them said, I will become flesh. I will take up this role. I will access that power in a human form and establish it amidst humanity so that will begin to create the ladder, or that would actually create the ladder for dead spirits to climb out of hell and journey back to God. Let's say amen. Now that took power. Because when Satan killed spirits, it was a finality in his mind. The wisdom called Christ was not something the devil knew. It was low. It seemed low because he was able to tempt. But it was a wisdom that was higher than him. So, if he was not higher than him, he would have discerned that this is not something you should touch. But he could not see that. He couldn't see that. And that's where God began to show his power. You know, when God shows his power, it's not that he flawed you. It's that he, I can say, sometimes it's that he outsmarted you. You know, God is as much as possible, following the rules that Satan has set for this world. Think of it like this. He says, I will set the rules. So God said, okay. As I set the rules, he will change it as we look. He says, okay. And God says, even as you have changed certain rules and changed them, in the midst of that, my own will grow. He said, lie ye. And that was the bet. And God had that wisdom called Christ in his recesses. It was not revealed. And he brought forth that wisdom. And he came to the earth and walked ordinarily. People looked and looked. And to the extent that evil spirits now decided that they should crucify him. And they crucified him, unbeknown to them, that was the power of God in manifestation. Because that was what dealt with the blow, dealt the final blow to Satan. That is what has unlocked the chains of it. Until that point, we were all slaves to sin. There was no way you would not stop sinning. Now there's an opportunity for you to stop sinning. Why? Because somebody broke the power of hell. Now that is power. That is power. So to access that life is what you call power. And that life is summed up in a personality called Christ. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's move to the next thought in that program. The concept of Christ is not altogether new to the angelic creation. So, we'll explain what that will explain as we go on. So, however, the type of Christ that Jesus became was new to them. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. Say, God was manifest in the flesh, right? Justified in the spirit. Thank you. A scene of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So there are spirits in the angelic world that have a type of Christ as inheritance. Christ means revelational man, a man built up by revelations of light. Every God, so I'll just put one God there, has its Christ. Praise the Lord. So what does this mean? It means that for you to access any realm of height, so to speak, you cannot access God outside of Christ. Christ is the connector. The Bible says there is only one God and one what? Mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That mediation is necessary. Now, that is a technology, forgive me for using that word, that is in the spirit. In that Satan also, to make people come to his own fullness, will also need a Christ. His own Christ is what we call Antichrist. Let's say amen. It's an arrangement in the spirit that gives you power to access an unseen being. What we call a God here. So when you hear Christ and hear God, don't just think of it, you know, don't just think of it as just the exclusive preserve of God. Satan mirrored it. He mirrored it to such an extent that we'll see an Antichrist will be born. One that will, like the way our Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ embodies the fullness. He said in him, does the fullness of God dwell bodily. Another being, unfortunately, will also, in him, will dwell the fullness of Satan bodily. He will interact with the forces of that Christ. The point of this is that concept of Christ, angels also understand it in a measure. But the kind of Jesus' own was weird. In that, how will God be manifest in the flesh? That technology, till tomorrow, I don't think we even have words to express it. Just say God was manifest in the flesh. We have to appreciate the work that, the power that took that, that brought that to bear. You have to understand the gap, the eternal gap that's between creation and creator. It's a gap that if creator does not choose to fill it, it can never be filled. It takes a creator to fill that gap. So one of the creator himself had to become creation, quote and unquote, you know. That's the mystery. That's what they call the mystery of godliness. And to do all that takes power. So that arrangement called Christ was to bridge that gap. And Satan also has his own replica, his own carbon copy, as it were, of that same arrangement. Why? Because it is something that angels know. They understand it. So one of the things you should take away from this is to be oblivious of Christ. Christ is not an optional course in the school of the spirit. To be oblivious of Christ is to be bankrupt of power. Forget it. You can never be powerful. You can speak in tongues. You can cast out devils. You can have anointing dripping from your ears. But if you do not understand Christ in the realm of the spirit, you are not powerful in either quarter. Those that will climb to the heights of iniquity and express the fullness of Satan will also employ this same methodology. Albeit, they will face another direction. You know, some things like speed in the spirit. When I say speed, speed is neither here nor there. Do you know something like obedience too? The word obedience is neither here nor there. What gives credence to speed or things like obedience is a crucial
quality called direction. What do I mean? If you are, no matter how much speed you have, in fact, if your speed is not in the right direction, it becomes detrimental to your soul. So also, if your obedience is not directed towards, obedience is a quality. Whether we like it or not, all of us are obeying. We are all obeying and we are all disobeying. Lord, give me obedience, give me obedience. Yes, God hears what you're actually saying. Lord, you're saying, Lord, help me obey you. Help me direct the force of obedience that is in my soul towards you. It's not as though you don't have obedience, you have it. It's intrinsic in your everybody's soul. The problem is direction. So somebody has hoodwinked everybody, whole world, to face that force of obedience in a particular direction. And that becomes disobedience to God. So God will not say, okay, by many much preaching, will turn that your business faculty, your ship of obedience, to face God. Same thing, speed. You will see that prayer that John prayed. Say, if these people do not come to you with the doctrine of Christ, say, do not wish them in your house, don't let them in your house, neither do what bid them what? Godspeed. Someone think that's a curse. It's not a curse. A person that does not have the doctrine of Christ must not have Godspeed. He must not access Godspeed. One person did it. Christ did it. I saw Christ. Satan did it. And God gave him Godspeed. You want to go? Go. Due to tomorrow, he thinks he's racing. He's making. It was our daddy, Ricardo Hugo, that described Satan. He said, Satan actually, his bomb is in the air. But he thinks he's going upwards. But he's going down. They just gave him Godspeed in the wrong direction. He faced. I saw, yeah, be going. So when he said, do not bid him Godspeed, hey, chain him. Let him not race too far without that doctrine. Because if you don't embrace the doctrine of Christ, you hold the doctrine of this world. And another word for the doctrine of this world is the doctrine of the Antichrist. Really. Really. And if you follow that direction fast enough, you can almost, God forbid, you slip, if it's possible, you slip out of the hands of like Satan slipped out of his hand. Out of God's hand. God forbid. Somebody say, God forbid. So I'm saying that to say the orchestration or the arrangement called Christ is not conditional. It's not optional. It's not a selective course. It is the only course. In fact, it is the subject matter. So you see why they were labored to learn Christ. What they were teaching us was what if you can just replace the word Christ with power, 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 power. When you think of power, don't think anointing. Think Christ. Think Christ. Christ is the power to access God. And as you access God, everything that should not come to God begins to shed. You know, it's just God has just hidden the whole arrangement of us coming to Him in Christ. Praise the Lord. Some will say, how does that tie to the stones? Christ is all the stones was the formation of Christ. The formation of Christ in His fullness up to everlasting fire, that's the formation of stones. And as those stones are being formed, as you are becoming more, you know, we went from a foundation stone or a stone to a tried stone, to a precious cornerstone, became precious, then we become a sure foundation. You became of more worth or more value in the sight of God as you journeyed. So you become more valuable when you become more powerful. So value, power in the spirit is value. God looks at this person is, can this person come to me? He's coming to me, or it's me. And he's not disintegrating. He's not even giving in to the evil spirits that are suggesting to him not to come. This is a powerful person. This is powerful. No, and I may not call that powerful, because when we see that person may not have any outward ministry. Jesus Christ journeyed a whole great deal before he ever came to any outward ministry. He had gone through a whole lot of that journey. Had a rapport with God to such an extent that God could shout from heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's a powerful man. So say it with me, say power is pleasure to God. If you are pleasurable to God, you are powerful. It takes power to please God. Reading from Amanuos now. In this present heaven, there are angels who are a type of Christ and some who are more than Christ. Let's say amen. Like we said at the beginning, Christ was not what God made. When God made Adam so, Christ was not it. Christ was a lower connection to connect a dead spirit. Adam was not a dead spirit, so they did not need Christ. You need Christ to connect dead spirits back to the God. Christ is not a new thing in the spirit. Someone say, it's true. If you understand what we said from the beginning, you think of Christ as a technology in God, that God also put a type of it in angels that Satan saw within his members and employed against God. So it's there. Key is direction. Let's say amen. We are looking at the versatility of the creation called Christ, or the new creation, called the new creation. The angelic also possess a type of Christ. That is why Satan can send some perverted Christ to deceive the church. Let's see very known common verse, 2 Corinthians 11:14, where it says, yes, and no marvel. Let's read 13 for context. Quickly, 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So Satan took for a form of an angel of light and has given birth, as it were, to his own Christ that will lead men back to him. You see, this world is not innocent. This world has intentions to lead everybody back to this false angel of light, because he will never tell you he's an angel of darkness, as we will know. That's not the power of deception. The power of deception is for you to see it and love it, and that is the power of Satan. So also the power of God is one that will also make you love God. Can we say amen? Christ will help you to love God. This is because they are angels who are the stature of Christos. Let's read on. We'll get it as we go on. The fallen God and his Christ. Let's say amen. 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 Angelic Christos in their different dimensions fell to the earth and became perverted. Angels fell from every category. One, from cherubims. We don't know the number, from seraphims. Of course, principalities, mights, and dominions, they also fell, plenty. So every sphere of the angelic has a representative in the other side. Every sphere. I mean, they needed. Gango is only two. Gango is not two cherubs that fell. It was just one. But that one. So God knows what he did inside cherubs. You know, recently I was just thinking about how Lord fashioned man. And this man, you see, the intricacies that put together a human being. No one said, well, God just breathed it into his nostrils and the man became a living soul. You know, that's a whole lot of work went into that. As Daddy taught us during Secret Summit, went and made the invisible components of man, put them together, made, doctors might appreciate this, you know, all the systems that are in a human being to make that human being function. Somebody once said a human being is one big chemical equation, that if one thing is not balanced, that's why a person falls sick. You know, all sorts. Somebody thought of that and put it together. Now, if that is not even as high as a cherub, then what would be inside a cherub? You see, this gold carbuncle that he just put there, it's a mystery. All those things, if they break down one by one, if they just show you that thing, John saw a measure of it and started worshiping the angel. Just said, don't do that. Don't do that. But that's a very high work. Now, that kind of work fell. That kind of work fell. And, of course, as he fell, it's like everybody that was attached to his rebellion also fell with him. Seraphs fell, principalities, powers, mind's dominion fell, and finally man also fell. To the intent that also he will have his own kingdom. So he wanted to establish his own kingdom. Reading from Emmanuel, through the disobedience of Adam, these fallen spirits were invited into the world of men. We should know that story. When Adam fell, Adam opened the door of the earth, the realm of the earth. Adam, the son of the red, opened the door of the realm of the earth to the incursion of evil spirits. In the beginning, it was not so. Satan, by cherubic authority, had access, but he couldn't bring his boys. It took Adam to fall, open the gate, hand over the keys, as it were, and for Satan to painstakingly, because even though Adam fell, Adam did not journey too far. He needed other people to marry the thoughts or marry the ideology of evil spirits, so that evil spirits could come into the world. And as they came, they began to drop their things. So one came, a murderous spirit came, and then Cain killed his brother. Spirits of those children of Cain who had different inventions, you know, all those inventions are just ideas to help you sustain your life and say, I don't need God. All of them just came. They just started entering the earth because Adam fell. Let's say amen. Say, Satan, the god of this world, is higher than this world. Of course, we should know that. Rulers of the darkness of this world, principalities and powers, are all princes and spirits of the world. Like I said earlier, this world, let's say a world. World is negative Christ. Because Christ, when you learn Christ very well, what you overcome is this world. When Christ prospers in you, you overcome the spirit of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist spirit is responsible for the creation of this world. When you say Antichrist, it's Antichrist, but it's a type of Christ, or negative Christ, we can put it that way. In that's against Christ, but it is employing all the technologies of the arrangement called Christ. It preaches. It collects offering. It holds service. He does everything in church. It's just that he doesn't do it in the four walls. From the time you are born under the atmosphere of a preaching. You know, man's problem did not even start with eating. Sure, you know. Man's problem started with preaching. He first entered through preaching. It's when she saw, she heard, and then she saw. Somebody preached to her, she saw something, then she stretched forth her hand and took the fruit. So he knows that technology of preaching. So I say foolishness of preaching. He understands it somewhere. It's just that he doesn't want you to listen to another person's preaching. He's preaching too. One day I just turned somebody, I think two years ago, I just woke up in the middle of the night, 4 a.m., December 26. I just heard, you are going to be poor for the rest of your life. Almost an audible voice. 4 a.m., I just woke up. That was a thought that, you know, who was standing by my bed waiting for me to wake up to trap that thought? That's a preacher. So the technology of preaching is something that they understand. They use it. So they'll not tell you guys why you're spending your time listening to message. That is a preacher talking. He's already preaching to you. And he's telling you what to do instead of listening to message. He's telling you what to do. And gives you 1,001 things to do. Honestly, you know what? You know what, brethren? Let me tell you something. See. We are all being distracted. You don't know how distracted you are until you leave here. When there's no more temptation. You see, that's when we suppose people say, I'll just make heaven. You don't know what you're in for. When they remove the animosity between you and God, that Satan put there, what is there now is longing. It's longing. You will be longing for your Lord like you have never longed before. You will now pain you when you see the gap. It will so pain you will be crying. Our problem is distraction. Who has ever had a rush of thoughts? Don't raise your hand. You just wake up and brr, 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 brr. It's as if you can always hear somebody. Okay, yes, sir. And sometimes go to work, eat food, buy new clothes, and you 24/7 auto run. It's a preacher. So why you now plug your ears in? That said the Lord. I say, that said the Lord. You're worried. You're worried. It's preacher versus preacher. They know the technology of preaching. It's a Christ operation. And it's how you convert. If you leave man alone in his made state, Satan cannot do that. He can't afford to do that. If he leaves any human being that just comes to him and just leaves him alone, that person will just gravitate towards God. Because that's his natural habitat. So he will keep preaching, keep talking, keep swearing, keep convincing, keep buying, keep threatening. Distractions. We don't know how distracted we are. So don't think that you get to say, I made it at last. No, you will be so sad, God forbid. When they've removed all those things that have been blocking your eye. You're not seeing clearly. They've removed it and you're not seeing, your beautiful Jesus is irresistible. You don't know what that thing means. That pull will pull you. Yeah. You now look at, oh God, why did I spend so much time in anger and unbelief? Oh my God. I want my Lord. I say, man, you have a journey to walk. But keep coming. Another 10.5 billion years, you should make it. And you are coming. Step upon step. With no distraction. You see, when they remove Satan out of the way, we will see clearly. What we are doing is that we are like driving in rain. So we need wiper. Somebody say wiper. Very strong wiper. You took Susie Road. So you are thinking, this is the road. And Satan will use the rain in Satan. Flooding your windscreen so you don't see clearly. So God is giving us wiper. What is wiper? Revelation. You are saying, okay, you are saying, wow. I'm able to drive. Now, if you are a very good driver inside rain, if you have good wipers, man, you can speed. You saw, and that's why they say, give you God speed. So, shall be able to. And people that will do that against opposition are those that get a great reward. You see somebody that's strolling the beautiful, cool sun, all stressless, like cool sun, not hot, not cold. You know, some kind of weather that's just not hot, not cold. It's perfect for strolling. And you are seeing the way you're going. You can just take yourself. And that's the step of everybody that has crossed without raising. You can't run. Because there's no opposition. We that are here, we are so blessed. Say amen. In that we are fighting uphill. So we are gathering, mustering power. Somebody say power. If you want to develop muscles, you go against a force. We are going against a force and it's developing our spiritual muscles. So you see, some of us will be like Arnold Schwarzenegger when we get there in the spirit. See, God's developed. Why? He has fought beasts. Imagine you see Paul in the spirit. Paul, I'm sure, if you go to use spirit, I will be very buff. Well developed. Man, he fought spirits in his time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's read on. A prince in the spirit is he who is made up of spiritual wisdom and understanding. That is both positive and negative. Be it a prince of darkness or a prince of light. May the Lord make us princes. Custodians of enough wisdom of understanding. You know, one of my desires in my life is I want to be wiser than our teachers. I'm not talking about pastor. No. Teachers of men. Teachers of men are evil spirits. Teachers of men are evil spirits. There's nothing about you that is abinibi. What's the word for abinibi? Intrinsically born. If they say it's intrinsically born, it's an information that came from generations, passed to you from your genealogy. Say, yeah, we're just born like that in our house. We just naturally get angry. It is an evil spirit that taught your generation to be like that and sowed that seed. Evil spirits taught men. The teachers always say, I will know more than my teachers. It's not pastors. It's evil spirits. It's evil spirits. You need to know more than them. And to know more than them was what Christ came to do on the face of the earth. He demonstrated by his life, by entrapping all the wisdom that God gave to him, that he was wiser than them. And God said, okay, because of that, now I'm going to seal you away from corruption. Before they will seal us from corruption, we have to demonstrate that we are princes somewhere. To be a prince is to have wisdom and understanding at a certain degree. Some of us are already wiser than demons. You are wiser. They can no longer bobo you. They used to bobo you before. My friend, get out of this. And he knows. Because in the realm of spirit, your wisdom is like a stamp. It's obvious. Somebody just trying to, you know, just someone that just want to disturb you. I beg. When you hear some people who have, by certain knowledges of Christ, or of even milk of the word, they gain some freedom. Because wisdom is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. You get some freedom from the operations of evil spirits. So also, the Lord wants to make us wiser than rulers of darkness of this world. You see that one? One of the champions of it that I've seen is Paul. If you read the epistles and you read it well, you will see this man was an enemy of this world. And this world did not like him. I see that same thing in our daddy, Reverend Kade Oyegokin. You stay with him too long, your world will be, they'll be judging world in you. This world. Your affinity for this world will be losing its sitting. It will be losing its sitting. Now, the wisdom is for us to agree with that judgment. Because as Pastor said yesterday, you can see something and not believe it. To not believe it is not to agree with the standards that have been painted. And that's very, very dangerous. It's better you do not see at all than to see and not believe. Let's say amen. Hence, a man cannot wrestle with such princes if he does not have the right tools. Those tools are what we call the armor of God. Let's say amen. The receiving of understanding is not just for the receiving of understanding's sake. He said, but for the building of a soul to withstand these falling spirits. You see, we are supposed to, the church, the Bible said, God said, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, whatever the gates of hell may be, and we are understanding what the gates of hell are by reason of teachings that are coming our way. Gates of hell are things that prevent men from going after God. Simple. God alternatives. Put it very simply. God alternatives is God, and you have something else that can take your time, take your effort, take your energy aside from the pursuit of things that matter. That is gate of hell. But the church is supposed to be a place where you come into it. When you are made a member of the church, they begin to destroy that operation over you. In that you can no longer, the thought of coming to God becomes an all-consuming passion. The Lord will take us there. That is when we say Christianity. That's what Christianity actually is. You can't, your entire existence is wrapped around pursuit of God. And it takes power. As I said here, where I just read now. It says, the receiving of understanding is not just for Christian's sake, but for the building of the soul to withstand these fallen spirits. Because these fallen spirits are arranged, that's why Jesus Christ brought the church. That word prevail, I checked it in Greek, it means will not be superior in strength. Rulers of this darkness of this world, if you are still worldly, it means somewhere you are not as wise as the rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of this world, because they are the ones that give birth to this world, and they are the ones that inform the love of this world. When you begin to hate this world, you are demonstrating a wisdom higher than that operation of evil spirits. And that's not the end. The Lord also wants to make us wiser than spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That means you are supposed to demonstrate in our life a wisdom that is higher than the heavens. Now you understand why God is talking to us about extra celestial. He's not joking. He knows what he's saying. He's showing you where you should be thinking from. Extra celestial. It sounds very extra celestial. But somebody walked upon the face of the earth and trapped those thoughts. You know, when you start getting access to revelation, especially if you're not well pastored, it will be as if you want to blow. And sometimes I just think, think about it. God, Jesus Christ was every bit man. The way messages are coming to us, the messages were coming to Jesus. The way you say, Jesus too said, sometimes in his life. He heard things, wow. And it took a while for him, I didn't say he didn't disagree, but the natural frame had to adjust to accommodate the thought. If he didn't go that way, he wouldn't be our savior. He said he was tempted in every bit. You know when you also are tempted to say, this thing is too long, he also was tempted. God is preaching too long. Maybe sometimes when he went up to the hill, God was giving him all night vision and he was just preaching. God was his pastor. Amen? God was his pastor and was preaching, teaching him. It wasn't just a formal or they just received the understanding. No, he was taught. It's written, I think, John chapter 13 was there, but he was taught. God taught him over time. And as the thoughts were coming, they were rearranging his being to such an extent that he was able to now begin to trap extra celestial thoughts. A man. Every bit man. He did that so that we also would have a chance to walk that same path. That's why they call him the way. Because he walked that path that Adam was supposed to walk to the end. Let's say amen. Okay. Revelation is the means by which inheritance is downloaded into creatures. That is why we are so blessed. Let's say we are blessed. Say it again. We are blessed. You see, people that have access by the mercy of God to the spirit of wisdom and revelation are rich. Pastor was saying that yesterday in Revelation Hour, Pastor Ayo. Thank you so much for yesterday, sir. He was saying, it's because of darkness, I'm paraphrasing now, that you do not value the opening of your eyes more than what you call powerful. So if somebody comes here and then, may I be trusting God for a renewal of my mind? So I'm just sitting there, I'm just thinking, I said, this mind, there are some thoughts you should be able to, there are some value systems you need to have. I must value revelation above natural things. I must. It's easy to say. But when come to become, you know what you value. You know the kind of movement in your mind or heart when certain things happen. And when other things happen, then you check your response level. You know where you are living. So after Single Summit, that mighty deluge, I was looking at myself. I said, TJ, you have problem. Problem you have. Your rate of rejoicing over what came is not as high as this, and this. Then I know I have a problem. Why? Because I don't have enough eyes. Jesus, in no way or form, would ever have rated anything in the natural higher than his discussions with the Father. As far as he's concerned, that was the most important thing that was happening to him. I can hear somebody saying, "Are you saying that all I should do now?" Because some people hear that and it's still darkness talking. Because darkness is a very, very complete work. Darkness has an answer to Christ. It's called Antichrist. Darkness does not have an answer to God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But it has an answer. It can tempt you out of Christ. But you see, when they seal you in the realm of God, untemptable. Nothing answers to that. So he's saying, I heard somebody saying, "This now. So I will just stop working and I will just focus on my spiritual development." I've heard that. Some people have said, "I'm not. The most important thing we have to face." And I say to you, be pastored. Amen. Be pastored. Jesus learned carpentry, and I doubt that he was a tuke-tuke by carpenter. I doubt it. He may not be an excellent carpenter to cause distractions, but I'm sure he was not putting 5-inch nail where 7-inch nail should be. I'm sure he was not doing that. So we are supernatural. And we are not afraid to be in the natural. But the natural is not our conclusion. That is the thing. Where you conclude all your life. When you think of the success of your life, and you think of everything, and all it is summed up into everything natural. There's not a rejoicing in your heart over the opening of your eyes. then you are not yet there. You are not yet powerful. You are not yet powerful. Because those are the things that Jesus Christ prized above every other thing. And Paul also got to that stage where he could count everything as done. May we get there. It's not supposed to be just a statement. It's a lifestyle. They will see it in the way you live. Somebody posted recently. She was her ticket, her certificate. I said, Dada Dong acquired. Ah, I said, wow. I said, that's great. I mean, yeah, you should put it where it is. But thank God for the posting. That should be a consciousness. You should be able to do the two. You should be able to do the two, yes? If the Lord will have you, because we are not spooky people. We are not floating. You say amen? Not just floating. Otherwise, if he wanted to float, Lord would not have given us legs. He would have let us just be floating, all of us. But he wants us to walk. Now, you will have an interaction with the earth to the degree that the Lord will have you do it. And you will do it under the auspices of the Holy Ghost so that it doesn't trap you, but you will not float. Can we, because some, you know, I know we are young people. There are sometimes we want to, I know, it has caught us. Some of us made those kind of mistakes. I have friends or people that will not go to school because Jesus is coming. Is that not going to? You are buying jam form. Jesus is coming. It was the understanding they had. No, you will laugh. But there was a certain level of consecration, albeit without knowledge, that person had. So if I had a pastor saying, don't worry, he's coming. Yes, just do the work. Pass it. So that when Jesus comes, you see you passed your work. Really? Oh, yeah, do my work. Because Jesus is coming, I must pass. Not because I need a good job. You see? No, I didn't say anything. No. I put myself into trouble. You see, our motivating factor in everything should be, Daddy said that last week, if your spiritual life is not your core, you have issues. You will have issues because your core is what you build your life around. Now, when you hear that, does not mean that you should now, you say, let's say you live in your core. I will never come out of that core. You are not a spirit. You say, then don't eat now. Jesus ate. He said, no, spiritual life, I don't eat. I don't eat natural things. Man shall not live by bread. God said, alone. He said, no, at all. So the scripture says, alone, bread plus something. Now that something, that bread, you will do what to get that bread? He that does not work, let him not eat. You see, there's a scripture that's entirely balanced. The issue we usually have is that darkness interprets over hype. You know, they can put you in overdrive. Spirit, you just run out and run and run. People have done that. I had a friend of mine. Look, I'm a beautiful brother. Love the Lord, but was not pastored. Ended up on a mountain. Carried his load in school, year one. Poke his mattress. You are laughing. Don't joke with. Look, they are not playing with you. When they say you need wisdom and being pastored, they know what they are saying. They have countless examples. This guy packed his mattress, went up the mountain, packed his books, went up the mountain, will come to the mountain to preach to us that we need to be born again. These are people who are, the boy we were raising. Well, I won't say I was raising, but I was just fellowshipping together, not raising anybody. When you jam certain, what I'm trying to point to you is we need to be wise in warfare. See, warfare. See, when Jesus comes down the mountain and eats with Zacchaeus, do you think that Jesus was on the plane of Zacchaeus? No. But Jesus was able to condescend. Sometimes you just need to remind yourself. I see that a lot in our daddy, Rankadi Yogoki. Remind yourself. If you stay in what you are thinking, and they don't give you permission, you see, connection to things eternal is purely by permission. Who was teaching that recently? It's purely by permission. You can be at the zone of qualification, but they don't permit you. You will stay there forever. It's a place of permission. You don't go there by yourself. It's not an honor you take unto yourself. You're not even supposed to say you have no sin. It shouldn't come out of your mouth. If you say it, the truth is not in you. So if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in you. So you are lying. For that statement to come out of your mouth, for you to accrue a level to yourself in the spirit, just accrue it. By now, I am now 2 steps away from the ark. That's where I am now. I like one man of God. He said, anywhere you think you are, said, just take 50 steps backwards. That's most likely where you are. And I use that for myself. So I'm now, with what I'm hearing now. So thank God for what we are hearing. But look, my dear, attend to your natural business. Attend to it. That is the power of Christ. Christ is a hidden work. Pastor Stephen is a hidden work. You see, Christ is secret service. Psst, 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 psst. He did it under G. By the time he came out fully blown, allow your Christ to be formed. Allow it to be formed. How's it formed? By this incursion of wisdom and revelation God is giving you. You see, those are pieces. I like the way somebody put it. They are pieces of Jesus I say bread of life is Jesus. Pieces. See, Revelation are crumbs. Pieces of Jesus being given to you. Allow it to be complete. Don't just take one and maybe it went the wrong way. You know, take a breadcrumb. I went down your windpipe, so your food pipe. You think that's power. You're actually coughing. You think you are expressing your energy. You are just coughing. By the time the thing comes to where it's supposed to go, you find you don't have any energy at all. Calm down. Have I said we should not be attentive? No. But I said there's a balance that we, especially as young people, need to have. Because like I keep seeing in front of me, said, we are going to hear things. In my time, we heard some things that made some of us run mad. Some of my contemporaries run mad. I've given you an example. What's this revelation? What were we talking about? Building. God is building you. In 1999, 2000. God is building you. That you are God's spiritual house. You are a spiritual house. That thing blew somebody's brain. Because it was not a lie that was so common probably then to him. Wow, I'm God's house. You mean it's not church? Then if I'm God's house, I need God to build me. What am I wasting my time doing in school? Pack his load to mountain without being pastored. Should be afraid. Don't be. No. Hey, God have mercy. I put myself into trouble. Someone say, that means you be afraid of revelation. No. Don't be afraid to live. Don't be afraid to live. Revelation is life. Amen. Revelation is riches. It's riches. As they come to you, they add to your being. You don't know. And as Daddy has said time and time again, you don't know what you look like in the realm of the spirit. You don't know. Beautiful. Beautiful. Somebody wants to spoil that beauty. Because he's expert at spoiling beauty. He took the beautiful creation called Lucifer that God made and spoiled it. Spoiled it, made it ugly. So he wants to spoil everybody else, but he will not spoil us. Amen. All right, let's go on. The innate capacity of a principality is due to some levels of revelation they possess. What we are saying here is that all angels have a level of revelation that was added to them. Revelation, what does that mean? Sight. There are awarenesses of the angelic that they have that man doesn't have. That's what places you in a higher realm. So there are awarenesses that spiritual wickedness in high places have that rulers of the darkness of this world do not have. And like that. Also there are awarenesses or understandings or enlightenments that the angelic have that man doesn't have. But there's an enlightenment that Jesus has that is higher than every other form of enlightenment. He's only subject to the enlightenment called God. Hallelujah. And that's our example. See, however, these fallen spirits turned aside and perverted this operation, this genetics in them. That's revelation. The spirits of this world is weakened when a preacher of light is at work. Why? Because you know he's giving that those components of his soul the ability to obey God. It's turning him away from darkness as well, as it were. This causes Satan to send a higher spirit or spiritual wickedness to strengthen the world. What does that mean? So when you have begin to demonstrate wisdom that is higher than principalities and powers, then you begin to see they change guard over you. They change platoon. They send another level of evil spirits because we know what we are studying is spiritual warfare. You have to just settle it in your heart. We are constantly at war. From the time you wake up, from the time you are born to the time you go to be with the Lord, you are constantly at war. A war against the acquisition or the formation of Christ in your members. That's the war all of us are fighting. And as you move from garrison to garrison, kind of like a game. Some of us have played games. Level one. You know when you're level one. Let's say you're a warrior, level one. You just have a sword. You fight, you overcome. By level two, they give you a sword and a shield. Are dead. Fight. By level 10, they give you sword, shield, and armor. In fact, it gets to some levels that the person, you see level one of this person, level 40. It's like two different beings. You know, see that kind of, some we don't play games. It's good not to play games. It's another distraction. But for some of us that is our own distraction, they are blessing us as our distraction. I'm not saying you go and play a game or no, but I'm just giving an example that they add to you as you go on. And as they add to you, one thing you also know is that if you use the level one weaponry to fight level 40 bad guy, you won't make it. One mistake I used to play games a lot, that I'll just go to the level 40. I'll say, let me see what I'm dealing with. Bad boy, bad! She's dead. I say, okay, let's go back and see. Let's go back and see how it will build. I'm sorry, you're coming back to level 40. Now you are well decked. But you have fought spirits. You have fought demons. Demons no longer plague your mind. You are thinking higher than, you know, many of us here are thinking higher than demons. It's a thing to rejoice over. It's more to rejoice over that than any other thing in the natural. To think higher than a demon is a blessing. Then to think higher than the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's the one I am trusting God to sit in me. I want to think higher than the operations of this world. And some of us are already there.
The world pulls. You can just see this is worldliness. This is world. Not those things that just came out to you very casually. This is world. It is a wisdom higher than the person that vomited that wisdom upon the face of the earth. They are taking note of you. So this person is showing some kind of intelligence that is above Arcadia. That is radio to headquarters. Send a higher one. And then spiritual wickedness in every places. I didn't want to start talking about those ones there, but let's just maybe. But there was, it's a part of the things that we're supposed to overcome. Written in Ephesians chapter 6. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly, in high places. That there's not heavenly places, all those places. We will go from wisdom to wisdom, or from power to power, until we arrive at a place that of a truth. Even there we know this one is wiser than me. That is Jesus. Every trap that darkness set for him, from demons all the way to spiritual wickedness, he demonstrated a wisdom that was higher. How? He listened to his father. His father was constantly telling him, This is a trap. And he was just dodging them. Before you know it, he just appeared before the Lord. He said, even Satan knew that this one has passed me. That will be our testimony. In the name of Jesus. Okay, spirits of this world. The world is designed to perfect her Christ. I went ahead of myself, but this is what was said earlier. This world is designed to perfect her Christ, because it's the Christ of this world, or the Antichrist, that will pull the full resources of Satan onto the earth. You know, Satan is looking for a place of, yes, Pastor, thank you so much for yesterday, Pastor. Pastor saying, this earth is a place of manifestation. Everybody wants to manifest here. Satan wants to manifest here. God is manifesting here. Everybody wants to manifest here. The earth is a realm of manifestation. Our daddy, Pastor Maker, taught us that. He said, head and body, heaven and earth. Head, body, heaven and earth. Heaven is head, body is earth. Head thinks the thought, body plays it out. So what is going on in the head must have an expression in the body. That's why we are called the body of Christ. In that, as Christ is thinking, we shall be doing. We shall be expressing. Then when that becomes seamless, we have held the head. Then the body of Christ, the Christ is complete. Then he will come and marry his bride. Because right now, to his degree, we are walking about with headless chickens. We are just learning to hold the head in thoughts. I mean, it's all the things in thoughts. In thoughts, you are holding, you're able to relate with the thoughts that are flowing in the head of the church. That should be your goal. If you have any ambition, that should be ambition. I want to think like Jesus thinks. I want to reason the way he reasons right now. The way he's reasoning. The way he concludes matters. I want to conclude them that way. That is what you call power. No Satan can understand that kind of thinking. If they understood it, they would not have crucified him. They can't. It's a mystery. And it's a mystery that's not supposed to just remain a mystery. Say, oh, mighty Jesus, be you. To you be all the glory. That be thee. No, he's saying, come to this. When he said to bring many sons to glory, that is the glory. Come and think like me. Come and think. Come and reason the way I reason. But it will take revelation upon revelation to bring us there. Same also on the flip side, this is what we are saying, is what the devil also knows. It will take, what you call it, revelations, enlightenments upon enlightenments, all the racing of enlightenment that this world is doing, is to get man to a point where he thinks completely that, first of all, he will say, is there God? Then he says, there's no God. There's no God. In that, I don't need God. And that's not the end. The end is to say, whether there be God. Not even that, no, that's most low. See? There is God, yes. But don't come to my sphere. Stay. I've seen you, but I don't come. Don't come. Don't come. That is higher than atheists. Hey, there's no God. That one's still low. A realm will come, people will say, yes, I know there's God. Yes. There's proof, but not in my matter. Stay there. Lie. All this racing to Mars, all this thing that they're doing, is just to create an impression that, yes, we are architects of our own fortune, which is a lie. Everybody's under the purview of evil spirits. They just don't know. You think evil spirits are only limited to earth? They are all over the place. That Mars, they're there plenty. In fact, they don't know what kind of evil spirits are going to jam there. The ones that God locked there say, you will never enter earth. Now man has gone to go and meet them there. And if God forbid, one of them enters man, now follows man back to earth, they'll be importing spirits by spaceship. They don't know. They have no idea. Because it seems like advancement. That's not the root. The world is designed to perfect her Christ. No one gets to the God of this world except he is a type of a perfected Christ. You know, there's this world and there's the God of it. And also, all of us will agree that the God of this world is wiser than this world. Abi, let's say amen. Say the God of this world is wiser than this world. Because this God of this world will roll up this world and bring another.
He's rolling it up already. He's just changing it as it will. He's going to roll it up and bring another kind of thing. This world is a realm of some particular angels who are perverted Christs. Those are rulers of the darkness of this world. That is the world is angelic. I think we should understand that this world is angelic. What do you mean by that? It means that because this world is a function of the present, and the highest force in this present is angelic. Say it with me, the highest force in the present is angelic force. It's not God. God, don't reduce God to forces of this world. God is his world. God is not even a force. We are now learning that God is even higher than the world to come. So his own is God. There is God. And then you have all sorts of things below. But God is in a realm all by himself. And will always be in a realm all by himself. Even when you are sitting by him, he's still in a realm all by himself. Because that's why he's God. A realm all by himself. Undisturbed. Unperturbed, doesn't at peace in and of himself, does not need anything extra to make him okay. Wow, okay, he's okay. Okay, he's not as okay as God. God is very, very, very okay. It's love that's pouring out all these things that are making him interact with us. Now, because of that love, now he's also determined that in his love, he will bring us to glory. I will bring these people to glory. We will be brought to glory. In the name of Jesus. It's so sure. This world is a realm of some particular angels or prophetic Christs. Those are fallen spirits. This world is angelic. That's why every believer should not love this world. Because to love this world is to love something that's going to perish. And not just perish as in this world. This whole angelic arrangement is also going to be rolled away. So we cannot, that's why even, even the force that got you born again was not a force of the present. Nothing, not part of your component of your being. Even the force that got you born again, that raised your spirit from the dead, was a force of another world, another civilization. Nothing in the present is responsible for your present state in the spirit. If you are learning Christ. Christ is an importation. That's why they called him a new creation. That word new, I checked, they said something like you has never existed before. Brand new. If there's an eighth day, when God made that one on the eighth day, and we've seen that God did not stop working, as we learned yesterday. He stopped and rested. But when Christ came onto the scene, God started working again. Now, when he started working, he produced that new creation. That new creation is one of the beginnings. So when they say the beginning of the creation of God, that's what that means. I thank God it was Pastor Leke that taught us that. One meeting like that. So when he said the beginning of the creation of God, that's Christ. I never understood it until he taught it. So you would think beginning of the creation of God, maybe God first of all made Christ the beginning. No. When you say creation of God, one way God can say, that's my own. These are my own kind creation. This one looks like me. He said, let us make man. And that was a futuristic thing. Let's make man. Because the aim was to get that man to journey. Because making is not just creating. Making is fashioning. It's molding. So it started in Eden. It was supposed to end up just under the tree of life as well. In the throne. But Adam didn't complete the birthing process. So God said, let me do my own creation. And Christ was the first. Hallelujah. So we don't joke with Christ. Let's say amen. The world is perfectly regimented with evil spirits, and that's why she's not innocent. So riddled everywhere. We are in hostile territory. When some angels were falling from heaven, they came down with the perverted kingdoms inside. If a man does not know the order of God in the heavens, he cannot know evil spirits. That is so true. That is so, so true. If you want to know about demons, you don't study demons, you study angels. If you study demons, demons will tell you lies. They tell you that they're in cockroaches, they're in rats, they're in cows, they're not. If you want to understand the way demons operate or angels, you look at angels. That's how to understand them. Any foray into learning demons without Christ, you end up in error. You end up in error. In the spirit, you don't study counterfeits. The only way to recognize the counterfeit is to study the true. The only reason why we know devil so much, as it were, is because we studied the original. We studied Christ. So we're able to detect his operations, which we will never be able to detect. If we started going about saying, yes, okay, I want to know where the devil is. No, just look for where God is. And just do, see, logic. If God is not in this, that means somebody else, because there's no vacuum. There's either God or devil. So if I know this is what God does, then I can detect this is what the devil does. Just automatic. Praise the Lord. Okay. The highest spirit of this world is called the rulers of darkness of this world. But there's a higher dimension, which is what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. The rulers of the darkness of this world and the lower evil spirits, such as principalities and powers, are what make men worldly. That's what. So when you keep here, I love not this world. We are still dealing with the formation of stones, because what worldliness does, that it tampers with an arrangement of stone. Worldliness is not completely dealt with until Christ is fully formed. Christ must be fully formed for worldliness to be dealt with in any soul. And as long as there's worldliness in our soul, then there's an illegal occupant in your members that Christ needs to sit. Something else is sitting there. A man has overcome this world when he overcomes the darkness of this world, or the wisdom of it. It will take the doctrine of faith to charity, that is Christ, to overcome this world. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13:13. Very common. So now abideth. I like that word, abideth. You know, we taught living and abiding. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. To finish this curriculum is to be an abider. To be an abider is to get to break into the realms everlasting. Not everybody is abiding. Abiding is means you are getting to a certain level of stability. God will not build something on a foundation that's not sure. That's why it's called a sure foundation. To make it sure, you need to complete charity. Once charity is well done, you know, this is a sure foundation that can carry the weight of God. They want to build the fullness of God, because you know this being, Christ, who finished this curriculum of faith, hope, and charity, ended up being the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in that a type of him housing the fullness of God. For us to become abiding beings, as it were, for us to become abiding beings, we need to be people who have exercise well in charity. So I'm just seeing how all the messages on this season are all dovetailing into one. There's a kind of raising the Lord is looking for because of what he wants to bring. Charity must be solid, as in charity must be where we live. Let us be known in the realm of the spirit as a charity pavilion. Let's say amen. Let that be our identity. Behold a charity company. That is the person that God can trust to put this next level of things that he's flashing towards us in this season. Can we say amen? Darkness is lower than spiritual wickedness in high places. The latter, which is spiritual wickedness in high places, being initiators with Satan. Spiritual wickedness in high places are able to do things that Satan does. Someone asks, what is Satan doing? Satan is teaching men how not to depend on God. That is the most powerful thing he's doing. It's not witches, it's not wizards. Those are high-level distractions that you can think, because you have prospered in that, you are free. No, the best way you can defeat an enemy is to give him a false sense of victory. If you give him a false sense of victory, he stops fighting. Once he stops fighting, then you have no opposition. And that is what all these witches and wizards things do. Do they oppress? Yes. I've been under such oppression in my life. I remember one day I had a very powerful vigil in secondary school. Very powerful vigil. We prayed all night. 13 boys in my secondary school. 13 I was born again. Only 13 boys in my set. Well, we hold vigils. We had vigil one night. Oh boy, I experienced the greatest pressing I've ever experienced in my life. I said, after such a powerful, I couldn't reconcile it. I said, we charged this atmosphere. It was hot. We were sweating. We prayed. And by 3, I went to bed. I couldn't reconcile the thought. It troubled me for years. I didn't tell anybody. Because I say, if you tell them, say, that means you are possessed. Why do I tell me I'm possessed too? So I kept it to myself. That's 97, 98, no, 96, 97. It was there. I said, what was this? 99. So I got it to school in 1999. That's university. And then I started listening to Papa Oyedepo. Of course, the rest is history. I mean, where is the devil? Ha! I now got so angry. I want to show you something. I got so angry. One night, an apparition appeared in my window, my small window. Instead of fear, anger. If you come into this room, you will die. Anger. Man, we are fired. But as you say, if you are fired without humility, we came proud. So I remember telling some people once in my vigil, one devotion, they were praying. Praise the Lord. Thank God. What God woke up us. This goes out us this morning. We thank God. And I was supposed to share that morning. I just took the praise the Lord. You know now. Those hypes are good though. At a level it's good though. You have to be very confident in your father. My father got my back, man. He's got my back. He'll do me anyhow. He will deal with you. He will deal with you. So I just said, it's people that don't, that's my morning devotional. God forgive us. Said, you know, it's people who don't have any purpose in life. Like, I think they will just sleep tonight and not wake up next morning. Open your Bibles to the book of fire. Then, fast forward 2 years, probably a year and a half. You know what? I started, Lord started showing us that a little bit more. So, we quest for knowledge, quest for knowledge, quest for knowledge. And then I was listening to a series about, you know, not judging things after your sight, you know, just after your feeling. You know, don't judge by your feelings, basically. Now, I'm not shouting, don't judge by feelings because of this experience. And then I now had another pressing. After 2 years, another pressing. And this one was just pressing. Like, say somebody lay on me with cross, put a hand on my neck, held my leg. It's like, so I was about to be confused, but then we have been turning spiritual small by small. Then I just heard from my spirit, say, who told you you were pressed? I thought, but I felt it. Who told you? Who are you listening to that makes you count this as something? I thought, move on with your life. And after that one, be it pressed or no pressed, I care not. As long as I'm learning life. Now I don't even know what pressing is. It's not there. Press or press, suppress, suppress. So I'm saying, what that thought brought me an understanding that was higher than that operation. So as long as I stopped listening to it, that was the end of that thing ever. Once the enemy knows he cannot arrest your thinking, he loses by his only problem he has is a problem is only as Lord told me this many, a few years ago. He said a problem is only as potent as the hold it has on your heart. If it can hold your heart, that's held you. Some people will go through big things, it's not holding their heart. You see, it will just filter out because those things will pass away. The issue is that can I affect his heart enough and give him a kind of understanding that will cause so when God is coming, there'll be no space. That's why those things happen. I was like, oh, okay. And I've been riding free since then. Now, an understanding came to raise me higher than the thinking of that demon. So also, there are some understandings that are going to come to us, brethren. They're already coming. They're going to raise you higher than the thinking of this world. That kind of, you see that one, you can feel it. You see the world oppressing us that same way. You just wake up. 35. This has not happened. That has not happened. Or you wake up, like I said, 4 a.m. You are going to be poor for the rest of your life. Where did that come from? It's warfare. Those things, by the time you are raised higher in judgment, those things will know that they themselves have no inroad into you. They cannot disturb you anymore. Then the devil now brings the last one. We call spiritual wickedness high places, which maybe pastor will round up with. Let me just read this last paragraph on the first page. Spiritual wickedness in high places are able to do things that Satan does. What does Satan do? Satan teaches man to prosper outside of God. Gives man a false sense of victory outside of God. That is what Satan does more than anything. He does many things. But you see, the thing that he does that is of most detriment to anybody's soul is to paint a life that God is not the center of. That is what he does. When he says Satan's work is to raise a life that God is not the center of. That is what he does. And those lives do not always look diabolic. They look logical. They make sense. They make a whole lot of sense. You need a lot of spirit to realize that this is Satan. That is spiritual wickedness. And I discovered when you begin to think like that, you become strange to those that love this world. If you love this world, people that love this world, if you don't love this world, people that love this world will find it difficult to love you. Somebody said that, wrote that on his status, and I agree. All these fallen angels, from principalities to the highest point, were made with inheritance from a realm called the beginning. They respond to what they call epistles, but AY called it epistles, which is revelation, knowledge, or materials. They like knowledge because they know, they self know that knowledge is what rules. They know, but they will tell you, go and get more anointing. Well, I've said anointing is bad, no. But they know that anointing and knowledge, like one man once said, say anointing jam anointing. It's knowledge that makes the difference. It's true. See, anointing makes the difference. We used to say that in our days in school. But say when anointing jams anointing. Because you know the Satan is anointed. So when anointing jams on anointing, what now prevails is knowledge. Who knows something higher? Jesus knew something that Satan did not know. Hallelujah. And that something is what he's teaching us. He's just taking small by small, but that is the thing he's teaching us. So he's saying that once it lands, the way it should land, You'll be wiser than Satan. Hey,
somebody say yeah.
Yes, you are supposed to be wiser than Satan. They rearranged the Godhead so that you will be wiser than Satan. The Godhead was perfected as it is. Father, Word, Holy Ghost. They rearranged it forever so that you have access to a wisdom that would never have been able to leave that realm. That wisdom stays there. They brought it to earth in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he left it here. And the Holy Ghost is constantly unveiling that very wisdom to us, which is what we call power. So when you say Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, that is that not that understanding, that awareness that is only in their sphere. So to access that knowledge is to be zoomed up. You just find that you are thinking higher than them. That's what will make you count this world as dumb. You can't count this world as dumb until you trap thoughts higher than this world. Amen? Understanding spiritual warfare. Now, evil spirits are being mandated by Satan to keep men worldly. I'm sure we've gone through most of this stuff. They don't want men to rise in warfare with them in their high places. Warfare is, or warring is not just praying alone. You see, prayer is like ammunition. Or, no, prayer is like a gun, so to speak. But what you put inside is your knowledge. When Jesus Christ is saying, I thank you, Father, because I hear me always. The knowledge that was bring for that prayer was higher than any tongues I've blown from the time I was born till now. It's higher, because he's speaking from a realm of higher knowledge. Let's say amen. Prayer is like water you pour on your armor. Let's say amen. The real art of warring is the right posture of a believer in the spirit. And that's the warfare. That's what Satan comes to war against. Don't stay in alignment. Don't stay in alignment with the grace of God, with the provision that God is bringing through obedience. These are things like obedience a believer does against darkness. It is the posture that a believer takes in order to refuse darkness as a life. And that starts when they begin to introduce you to the faith of the Son. When they start talking to you about living by faith, they paint a faith life to you. They say, take this decision. And to all sense and intents and purposes, it doesn't make so much sense. But you just have a witness in your spirit that this is the decision you should take. And after counsel, you've taken counsel with people that you submit to and all that. And they say it's decision. It still doesn't make sense. Yes, they're trying to help you, train you to deny an arrangement that darkness has already planned for all of us. Darkness has all of us written in his own book. And has how our lives will go. That if we follow it to the letter, we will end up with Satan. He has his own. Just so God has his own in Christ, tabulated in Christ. Though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. The will or the pathway, our pathway is already written out that if we can just lay hold on the leading of the Spirit, we will walk that same path and it will lead us straight back to God. Let's say amen. So that's one way also we can describe our warfare. Read for our manuals. These are the things a believer does against darkness. It's a posture that a believer takes in order to refuse darkness as a life. Evil spirits don't want man to overcome darkness, not to talk of wickedness. In fact, they want you to remain perpetually in darkness. No, wickedness is higher than darkness. Wickedness is what the spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places, is higher than this world that introduces. And some men, unfortunately, will journey to that place. Some men will get to the point where they are courting spiritual wickedness. But at that point, may we also have begun to court high, not well, God is already taking us there. May we also begin to court extra celestial thoughts. Because I'm seeing that somewhere, if we don't trap those thoughts, the wisdom of spiritual wickedness is a wisdom. It's not a possession. It's a wisdom. It's an offer of a life that they will bring that will make you look as and men will willingly choose darkness. God forbid. We want to be enlightened enough not to make that choice. Always choose light. Rulers of the darkness of this world are spirits against a believer who is obeying the law of charity. However, warfare with spiritual wickedness in high places is different and is higher. And it will take the armor of God to overcome those spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's say amen. Carnal warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. We can just put it on the screen. It's common. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. Let's say amen. Amen. Say the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. Sometimes you wish they were carnal, so you just deal with things once and for all. But they are not carnal. They are not carnal. Okay, engaging in warfare with physical enemies or flesh and blood will dull the mind of a believer. See, Satan, any thought that makes you conclude that somebody has the ability to be your enemy, a human being, the moment you are just seeing that person. Now, I'm not saying people cannot be bad. People can be bad. Just like you can be bad. But if that was a prayer I should pray, that you should cease to exist because you are my enemy. Then it becomes what I perceive to be my enemy. Do you understand what I mean? If I perceive you as my enemy, you may not be my enemy. Maybe you are ignorant. You just did something in ignorance. I say, no, it's my enemy. And I now pray that you should cease to exist. And God answered that every prayer, of all those prayers. None of us will be healed. Because at one point or the other, somebody has disliked us. Now there's only one person. Think like our master. There's only one person that's interested in depopulating the earth. If he cannot convert you, he wants to kill everybody. There's only one person that thinks like that. I won't mention his name, but you know him. My housemaster in school, we call him Al-Shitani. That's my housemaster in school. Say, I will beat you all. Al-Shitani will appear to you. He's the one that wants to depopulate this world. So, it's very easy. All those schisms you have with your brother, he knows what he's doing. As long as you are fighting, you have to be careful. You are not too far from murderous thoughts if you are not careful. Satan is bad. He will just make a person, a human. Nobody has the ability to hate you the way Satan hates you. No human being. Conductor, as bad as he looks, he doesn't have that ability. He's just angry. He doesn't have the ability to hate you intricately the way Satan does. So our flesh, so when your warfare is reduced to human beings, people, even if they are what you call witches and wizards, even if they are still people, there is a spirit behind that you have authority over. Have you ever thought, just cast out the spirit of that witch and move on with your life? If you thought of delivering, no, but you know, it's because of Nollywood, and God help us. They have just done a work, making us think that that's what power is. That's not power. That you cast out an evil, wicked, evil spirit. That's not power. Or that you are, came down my house, which was flying over my house, and she just fell down, bam, died. There's power here. That's not power. Because if they were flying over Jesus' house, we'd have probably said, calm down. How far? Why are you flying? But you know you need deliverance. Say, yeah. Say a creation of God. Oh, yeah, come, let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus. Evil spirit, get out! Oh, thank you. A life is saved. That's his mindset of a savior. But because you see, because we have not employed faith very well, we are so afraid. If they gave all of us gun, we'll be shooting every wish we see. We will shoot. I will quote you with scripture. Suffer not a wish to live. Suffer! It's a power! It's a power! I just put in a mindset that we should be higher in our thinking. What I'm saying, don't think human being. When you think enemy, if it's a human being, Jesus Christ even told us, okay, love your enemy. It's not Satan he was talking about. He was the one you thought that was your enemy. He said, okay, let me come to your level. Love your enemy. That one you are calling your enemy. That one you are calling your enemy. Love him. Of course, you do it under auspices of the Holy Ghost and under spiritual counsel. Because some people have put themselves into trouble. And we're trying to obey some things without stature. Amen? You have to be wise, though. But I say that mentality of thinking that a human being can... Christ said, do not fear whom that can kill the body, but fear who can cause the soul to languish in hell. He can qualify the soul for hell. Those are evil spirits. Say, it will prevent one from becoming an elite in the spirit. The true agenda of evil spirits, when they camouflage behind men, is to make us drop our weaponry in the spirit. How many people can you fight with truth, faith, righteousness? You know what you are warring when you war, but you actually war. It's not against human beings. When you adore righteousness, you are fighting evil spirits, because you are fighting spirits of unrighteousness, spirits of lie, those spirits of fear, with all that armor that was written in Ephesians chapter 6, armor of God. Those are the spirits you are actually, that's actually the warfare you should be fighting, not any human being. Don't, when you think enemy, you know, that is still a mentality that Lord will heal us. Or when you think enemy, don't think human being. Think the one that can prevent you from coming into glory. That's the enemy. The one that has operations in him to truncate spiritual ascension. That is an enemy. That's an enemy. Love work will conquer any human being. Love work will conquer any human, because love does not fail. Why we have struggles? Because sometimes we are too angry to love the way we should love. Your neighbor, if you love him the way, there's one I've been having recently in my house. Yeah, but God said love him. And sometimes the loving thing is, you know, just come hands uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't do it. But I'm saying, if I just know, the few times I've just done it, there's one I did just 2 or 3 days ago. If I see the way his face lit up, I was like, Kai, you can conquer anybody with love. Any human being, your warfare, if you want to fight a human being, I just say, love. Love does not fail. But you see, evil spirits, Real spiritual wickedness in high places, you need the armor of God. Those ones, because they will arrange a thought that makes you think you don't need God. That's what you are fighting. Hallelujah. The true agenda of evil spirits is when they camouflage behind men is to make us drop our weaponry in the spirit. Our weapons are supposed to make us appreciate in the spirit if we know how to use them. Weapons of our warfare are for spiritual men. That was written in Ephesians chapter 6. They are for spiritual men. A carnal man cannot get or take the armor of God. Let's say amen.
Amen.
It is for spiritual men. How do I know? Because you are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. That armor is supposed to cater for all forms of enmity. If you are carnal, you can't even fight rulers of darkness of this world. You can't. Even demons will still be giving you thoughts once in a while. So the armor is for you to be able to deck or wear that armor. It's called the armor of God. I will know all things God are things eternal. To enter to that formation, that fortification in the spirit, you need to be spiritual. It's one whole armor. A believer who has not been made strong in the Lord and in the power of his might will not be able to find that armor. We've seen that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Then you put on, so those that can put on the armor of God are those that are what? Strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord is to be spiritual. Say it with me. To be strong in the Lord is to be spiritual. That's how Christ formed you to a great degree. I cannot speak to you as unto children, but as unto carnal, unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat because you are not spiritual. That means you are not strong in the Lord. You don't have the power of Christ working you enough for you to wield God's armor. You're like David, even though there's prophecy upon his head, when he stood before Saul, they put armor upon him. He couldn't wear it because he didn't have the frame to carry it. It took 13 years for David to walk in the wilderness before he was decked to wear the armor of the king or the armor of God. So it takes process to get you to a point where you can also wear the armor of God. Let's say amen. It can come to you in trickles, but to have it as a full formation in your soul upon your members, it needs development. Because some will say, Shebi, I have truth, Shebi, I have righteousness. Yes, but you have to have it in a degree, in a formation, complete formation for it to become a complete armor to stand against spiritual wickedness. Because that is the main thing. If you can defeat spiritual wickedness, then it's almost obvious you can defeat every other lower cadre of enemy. Praise the Lord. Understanding our enemy and strategic warfare. Evil spirits mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 are the real enemies. Let's say amen.
Amen.
Who send lower demons to influence our so-called physical enemies. Let's say amen.
Amen.
The reason Jesus would ask us to quickly forgive men, that's flesh and blood, is so that we will not drop in our true spiritual warfare. Daddy once said that in one convention, 2020 convention, Daddy Mekai Guchuku, Daddy, our pastor, said, reason why you see your enemy, your brother as your enemy, is because you have not eaten well. When you eat well, you won't call your human being your enemy. When you see clearly, you will see there's actually an evil spirit behind him. Actually an evil spirit. You can see that in Jesus' life. When Peter was speaking, heavily anointed, he thought that he was the Lord speaking. In fact, he thought he was contributing to the power of God. But Jesus could detect that this was Satan. May we be able to detect too. Amen. It says, evil spirits are trying to prove to God that we cannot war in the spirit. And God wants to boast about us concerning spiritual warfare. Yes, say amen. To forgive men their trespasses is much more profitable to us. Satan hides behind enemies who are seen. People who are seen. So we can keep a wrong heart. Then that's why the Lord invented forgiveness. Somebody said the reason for offense is forgiveness. Someone said, I said, the reason why offense exists is so that you can exercise the muscle of forgiveness. Because when you exercise the muscle of forgiveness, you are learning to die to self. You are learning to deny yourself. Because when you forgive, you are being denied of a right. If you left you, opposite of forgiveness is justice. You want something done. But say, overlook it. You are exercising a muscle that if there was no offense, you could never ever exercise it. Now, can you see why it's very difficult to grow very fast when you cross? Nobody's offending you. Everything is free. But here, somebody offends you. And you're saying, forgive, forgive. I forgive him in the name of Jesus. I forgive him. You're exercising a muscle. Praise the Lord. That is warfare more than any praying of cease to exist, cease to exist. I don't want to call it what it is, but you know what I mean. Cease to exist. If you know, you know. To forgive men their trespasses is more profitable to us. It says we should forgive. So this is because the warfare that evil spirits are waging against men is intentional and is to make men what? Make men what? Oh? As long as you are seeing a human being as your problem, it's still carnality. It's still carnality. That person is under an influence that you should have power over. So when the church gets to a point where the gates of hell cannot prevail, the church will always detect where Satan is hiding. So somebody enters into church and is full of oppression and suppression and demonic oppression. When he enters, by reason of the atmosphere of the spirit that's there, the demons, that is Satan again, demons will leave naturally by themselves. Why? Because they are being judged by that effulgence of life that is present in that place. And that should be our individual lives. Our individual lives should be so decked that Satan will bring people, will cause people to stir up offense in you. But if you are wired to forgive, that what is brought to you as a stumbling block becomes a stepping stone. It causes you to improve. It causes you to improve. Before you know it, you become somebody that can no longer keep offense. You are just floating. You are just free. That's freedom. Because you exercised that, you did true spiritual warfare. You didn't stay carnal. Not to forgive, to stay carnal. And it's only one person that wants you to stay carnal. Because as long as you are carnal, you are under him. When you start entering the realm of the spirit, you have become dangerous. Because he knows this person can ascend to divinity. If he gets to divinity, he can start knocking at the door. And like that other guy that passed, is Jesus is calling guy. Because he will say that. Because he's rude. I won't say that. I'm just saying what he will say. He said, I'm that other guy that just passed here. I just went to. Don't let anybody else pass. Because he's seeing your ascension. Everybody's ascension in the spirit is very visible. They can see it. So they'll bring your brother. Have you ever wondered why, as it's such a crucial time where something nicely spiritual is happening around you, then somebody will just do something? Has it happened to you before? It happens in marriage very well. There's a trajectory, you feel, And then if you do the mistake of not rebuking evil spirit, you say, what did this brother, why is this brother behaving like this? I've said it. You are going down, But you said, I see you. I forgive you, Jane. And then you start going up. And Satan goes, yay. Let's send another one. And you send it up. Before you do it later, it becomes muscle memory. You know what muscle memory is? You are doing it without thinking. I forgive you, Father. Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them for them on the cross. He had been doing it for years. It was just a different state. I cannot, Father, forgive them. I'm sure, you know, we want to think, Oluwa. I shall no one. Oh, shame me by Oluwa. Sorry, I'm speaking about Lord. They did this to me. Oh, forget. It was a default state. He couldn't do anything else because he had been learning forgiveness from the time he was born till he got there. So, Father, forgive them because they know what they do. There are more important things. This is not my problem. Forgive them. I want to be like that. Honestly, I have a lot of ambition. Plenty of ambition. And see how beautiful I can be. Imagine you are living like that. Imagine all of us were like that here. We won't meet on this plane. Anytime we gather, anytime you hold Satan's things, you remain earthy. You are heavy, you can't ascend. And anytime we gather like this, it should be an ascension. It should be a mountain formed to connect the Lord. But the Lord in his mercy will always meet us at our level. But let's not be deceived by that. God can bless anybody. God can bless anybody. Is he not? He is blessing personified. He can bless anybody. So that's not because you are being blessed that you are actually receiving all he wants to give to you. May we ascend. May we always meet on that, when we gather, may we meet on that plane that the Lord wants to meet us on. To forgive men their trespasses is much more profitable to us, yes. Set our hands behind enemies who are seen, so we should forgive. This is because the warfare that evil spirits are waging against men is intentional and is to make men what? Carnal. We should be wise to unmask Satan behind any issue we are facing. If with men, see Satan. Somebody say, see Satan.
See Satan.
Hey, somebody will hear that and say, hey! Yes, you have to detect him because he also thrives by hiding. He will push Brother Michael forward and say, but Michael's the one doing you. Why is the one? No, that's what the Bible will call NEB, an evil person. Makes other people look bad. You know, it's a very bad person that paints other people bad when he is the real bad person. That person is not a good person at all. That wisdom is satanic. That wisdom is satanic. You always want to appear good. Satan always wants to appear good and make everybody else bad. That's the light he's telling you about God. Just that God is, God doesn't have your best interest. Just eat these fruits of knowledge and what's long way tree of life. You eat leaf, one leaf. You know how many leaves on that tree? Don't you eat all those leaves? I pity you. You better just eat these fruits and just be okay. No good and evil. Shortcut. And he paints because God does not have your best interest at heart. That's the light he's telling us. But God said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. There are thoughts of peace. Let's say amen. Amen. To bring me to an expected end. Let's say amen. Amen. Satan. Okay, it's okay. We should be wise to unmask Satan behind any issue we are facing with men. It is Satan behind the scene when Peter was rebuking Jesus. Remember that story? How did Jesus know it was Satan? If Jesus did not tell us that was Satan, none of us would have said that was Satan. We probably would never have detected that. But Jesus knew. Jesus understood this way. He thinks, this is an evil person. Building the spiritual princes. The ingredients for building beings are purely materials of revelation and understanding. Let's say amen. Amen. So we don't joke with revelation and understanding. Spirits, good or evil, are sensitive to understanding. You are delivered when you understand. You are in bondage when you are ignorant. Let me say that again. You are delivered when you understand. You are in bondage when you are ignorant. And spirits know this. They know that power in the realm of the spirit lies in realms purely of understanding. That's how you make a person powerful. Angels understand the importance of the enlightenment of our eyes of understanding. Evil spirits usually go ahead of men to ensure that we do not respond to the understanding God grants. How? By creating an alternative understanding. That is the most evil thing that Satan does. Nothing is more evil than that. To create an option to God. That is Satan. When you think power of Satan is the power to create an option that precludes God from your thinking. That is satanic. That's higher than demon possession. That's higher than forming mad people on the road. That's higher than sickness. That's higher than any operation of Satan. To paint an option that removes God from the equation. That is Satan. Because he first did it for himself. That's what he did to himself. He created he opened up another existence that does not take a leader, doesn't pay any allegiance to God. Finds its own way. Everybody else was following God. He just said he's not going to follow again. And teaching every man to follow him in that iniquitous way. So when you think of power, Satan, that is what Satan's evil. That is his evil. That's the worst thing that can happen to anybody. But because it's so commonplace, we don't see it as being evil. It's commonplace. Everywhere, options against God. Options that do not choose God. Options that water down the standards of God. Options that say God is the standards of Christ and God are not what you believe. That it opens you up to the world of rights. I can do anything I like. Before you know it, you will do what men are doing. Unspeakable things they are doing now. God forbid. They are working to ensure that their captives do not access understanding. The work of Satan is to keep you ignorant. At any level, if you climbed, stay there. If you climbed again, stay there. Don't ascend to the fullness of God. Whatever level you are, he wants to keep you there. God is not about keeping you. God is always about bringing you up. It's always Satan that wants to limit your progress. Revelations are materials for the making of a prince in the spirit. To really build a man up to be a prince in the spirit, one must have what? Spiritual understanding. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 12. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. But a king becomes honorable when he finds out a matter. So one of the things that the Lord is bringing to us, when he brings us understanding, is to make us searchers, inquirers. You have a heart questing to understand, to know the only true God, to know him. Then they bring understanding. In the realm of the spirit, this is an honorable person. This is an aristocrat in the spirit. You have become a royalty. It says honor of kings. It's kings. To be a such as to be a king in the realm of the spirit. And a king is the same zone of existence as a prince. Let's say amen. It's kingly for a man to get understanding. Spiritual sight or understanding belongs to kings and princes. Jesus came to offer a dominion to men that will set them free from bondage. A man cannot engage in warfare with principalities and powers when he is not a prince on the inside. Let's say amen. What makes you a prince is what? Understanding. What makes you a prince is what? You are only as royal as your level of understanding. Why is Jesus Christ King of Kings? Because he has understanding of understandings. He has all understandings. So he's the king of anyone that will have understanding. When I say King of Kings, he's the king of men of understanding. And he also wants to make us also kings and priests unto his God, just like he is. How is he going to do that? By bringing to us understanding. Let's say amen. So we don't joke with understanding. A spiritual sight or understanding belongs to kings and princes. Jesus came to offer that dominion unto men to set them free. A man cannot engage in warfare with principalities or powers when he's not a prince on the inside. It will take a properly enlightened fellow to be called a prince in the spirit. These are the ambitions you should have. If you have any ambition at all, this you have ambition to be a prince in the spirit, someone who has sight. The more enlightened your eye is, the more dominion you will handle. This is why Christ is first what? Wisdom. Let's say amen. Christ is first of all what? Wisdom. Because it's through wisdom you access all the other three. If you lack wisdom, you can never be righteous. You can never be sanctified. And then ultimately you cannot be redeemed. Because Christ is first of all brought you as a wisdom of escape from death. Let's say amen. A man cannot attain unto redemption by mechanically hustling for it. It cannot be accessed that way. Redemption is accessed by what? Understanding. The things of Christ are kept in the arena of what? Understanding. See, understanding everywhere. The crux of this lesson, the anything you will take from this lesson and yesterday's writing vision, is not to joke with the delivery of understanding. What's being committed to your hands is riches. 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 You are being made a wealthy person. It's just because our eyes are not yet we're not yet seeing as we will still see. We'll get to a point where we will prize that above every other thing. Let's say amen. Deliverance from the lie called vanity. A believer will not stop being a Gentile until his darkened understanding is enlightened. So the key to understanding is what? Enlightenment. Scriptures make us to know that vanity is trivial, is weightless, is actually nonsense. But however, to a Gentilic soul, vanity remains weighty. Now, somebody told that lie. Somebody preached that message of vanity to man. And in the days of David prayed to the Lord, said, Lord, turn my eyes from vanity. Because if God does not turn your eyes from vanity, nobody has power over vanity. You will be inside vanity saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And it's vanity that put that word in your mouth. Why? Because vanity is an arrangement that precludes God. Right, vanity is Satan's offer to man. Say, take this and forget God. If you follow it well enough, at the back, at the end of vanity is Satan. That's why Jonah said, they that observe lying vanity, they forsake their own mercy. What is the mercy? The mercy is the mercy for a man to come to God. If you constantly remain vain, you will never be able to come to God. So vanity is not a friend. If God does not turn our eyes from vanity, as one scripture calls it, one version of the Bible says, Lord, turn my eyes from worthless things. It's worthless. It's a thing, but it has no worth at all. It is vanity for a man to have an ambition to relocate to Mars or wanting to become a superpower amongst other nations. These are all vanity chases because at Mars plus Earth, everything is going to be rolled away. Some people think that it's only Earth that will be rolled away and then all of us will be seeing Mars, will be seeing the sun. No, they're going to roll away the whole thing. You see all these things between us and heaven is what's called firmament. And that firmament is where they put all these planets. Firmament, they are going to roll it away. The way they roll Beshit, Wakani, they will fold it. They will fold it. Man, it will be a glorious thing to see that day. These are the things you should be thinking with your mind. So one day, this study will just go, pah. What's under that place? Oh, that thought is water. He said, we see water. Wow. You see, if you think those ways enough, fornication will not have space. You won't have time to be in malice. Because that malice will be blocking that thought. You will know you're blocking that thought. Exercise your mind with those kind of thoughts. It helps. Vanity will keep you here. They are vanities of nations. These are the vanity of nations, ignorantly called the pride of nations. At times, Christians think that we have overcome this world, even though many are yet to perfect the walk of charity. A believer must perfect the law of charity to truly overcome this world. Let's say amen. Vanity is what? Vanity is what? So to remain vain is to remain under corruption. It is the training of the mind to race into the corruptible or into corruption. Vanity trains a man to decay. It trains you to expire, to perish. That is what vanity, that's the butt at the back of vanity. But it doesn't look that way because it has promises. It installs a program in men on how to keep men, keep taking thoughts around the decaying present or carnal life. So any escape that the Lord is bringing to us in our thoughts is deliverance. Let's say amen. So to disintegrate man completely, so disintegrate, to pull man about, to decompose man completely, put vain thoughts in him. And because it's a thought, man is an expressor of thoughts. If you think enough of the thoughts of God, you begin to do God. If you think enough of the thoughts of vanity, man will just, where man, God made man, man is an expressor. an expressor. He will express his most predominant thoughts. I pray that the Lord will cause us to prize understanding more than any possession we have. If you have cars, you have houses, you have family, you have things, the most important thing you have that is yours, that should never be taken from you, is understanding. Understanding is priceless. It's priceless. It is your entire deliverance. No, we're not deliverance. We're outside of understanding. So when we hear all things like Gori, Gori, Gonagoste, it is a statement of that came from a very high place in the spirit. It just seems like play, but God playfully spoke to us our creed. That's our life. I will go to meetings until I what? Meet him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we say thank you, Pastor? Thank you so much, sir. It's really a very voluminous lesson. I don't even know how he was able to even finish up to this time. I was thinking it would take like more, maybe 15 minutes more, because the study is very much. And thank you for the skill and the skill of combining both pastoral grace and the teaching grace to let us know that we are up and against something serious. Hallelujah. Just to buttress some one or two things which are the emphasis of the things that Pastor have said. Praise God. Now I want the topic is spiritual warfare against the stone formation. Now we know that a stone is a stone by what it thinks. What makes stone? The difference between stone and grass in the realm of the spirit is their thinking part. It's just the thought. It's just the thought. There is a way a stone thinks. There is a way a grass thinks. And one of the things that Pastor said, which was very, very profound, was that the aim of Satan is to make sure that we get to a point whereby God is out of our equation. Out of our equation. Out of our equation. And that is the warfare we are fighting. Now, let's start from here. Do you know that witches and wizards that come after your life, the babalawo that shakes his bell or his gong and is beating and is chanting and is raising incantation at the back of your house, and the next day you hear that one has caught fire there because the man did that. The next day you hear that the car had accident, or the sicknesses in the body, either by the depreciation of the body or by demonic oppression, is not as strong as a warfare in the hand of Satan. Like thoughts. That is what Pastor TJ is saying. It's not as strong as weapons. Can I tell one thing? Satan does not have anything to fight man but thoughts. All the arrays of evil spirits, from principalities to powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in the high places, and then the God of this world himself, all what they parade and all what they used to fight is our thoughts. It was this thought that made man whom he is. Now, the gun you see that men are carrying all about, they were as a result of a man thinking. A man had revenge in his heart. He has war, he has strife. And he looks at, how can I revenge and break this man bone? You know, the issue of ammunition did not start with that I want to kill. I want to defend myself. It was a thought. Won't you defend yourself? And they call it self-defense. And they thought, okay, well, how can we defend ourselves? Make a machine that when you shoot, it has high velocity, and it will move an iron into the body and drive it. You understand what I'm saying? Thought upon thought, then weapons of warfare, they are created on the ground. Gun appeared. An evil spirit taught man how to make gun. Evil spirit taught man how to use cutlass to kill human being. So when we say thoughts, our major warfare is the warfare of thoughts. Any man that is free in his thoughts is free indeed. He's free indeed. How many of us have fought out this week? Thought upon thought, thought upon thought, thought upon thought. You see that warfare, eh? That warfare of thoughts is the real warfare. And this angel of darkness, the reason why Satan instituted them, as Pastor Chiyi has said, is to make me carnal. Yea, is to make me carnal. Their mission, you know, when we want to dispatch marketers to the field, they have target. They have target. Maybe in a month, Satan has agenda to further reduce man to degradation and to also capture more men to think in a particular way that make them an enemy of God. We need 50 million people to think in this way. So they give the objective to principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Then they now say, okay, go and make them think. And they start raining thought upon the earth. Somebody will just wake up. Why is my life like this? How come my salary has not increased for the past 2 years? Even the salary is not even enough. That is the beginning. There is a place they are dragging you to. Even the salary is not enough, eh? Eh? Ah. And then ground, you just see, a pastor is celebrating birthday, please. So it is like, eh? This is what I'm saying. Before you give to pastor, you give pastor home, you pay tithe. And they say another brother has hospital bill to pay. And then Satan begin to teach you, you know what? I don't know why I'm thinking like this. Let me go on. Hey! Yay! Evil spirits are wicked! They are very wicked! Kai! You get angry. In fact, it was this is, you know, at times to even pay your tithe becomes difficult. Although you mean that out of 300,000, you give 30,000. 30,000. That means 370. What will 370 do? They have said we support this one. Then my mother in the village is calling me. And then I have no boss shoe. See, even my horseshoe. Things you have not seen before, you begin to see it. Now, you begin to see them now. It is not you that is thinking. Spirit has been positioned. Spirit are positioned. When they want to reduce a man to nothing, it's by thought. There are some thoughts that when it comes to a man, the man, if he takes it, become beast. He will still be walking like when that thought drops, you see human being or yellow, I'll be black or white, still having weapon on, with lipsticks, with shoe high heel. But when that thought drop in the realm of the spirit, in satanic agenda, there are coding for each thought. And each thought have an accomplishment. The same way God said that the word that I speak, it will not return back to me void until it accomplishes that which I was sent to be. The same way, when Satan sent thoughts, it has an accomplishment. There is a reason. It did not start. So when that, now, in the realm of the spirit, they may tag that thought as beastly. When it's coming, it won't come as beast. It's come as normal thought that you are thinking. But the end result of it, the person has become beast. Still walking, no, but it's a beast walking. So it's a strategic walk. So you wake up in the morning, you just, why is my salary that's not increased? And then you go to market, beans, 4,000 naira. Strategic warfare. Strategic warfare is going somewhere. You go to market, rice has increased. Garri has increased. I mean to say, it's not easy to house anybody now. It's not used to ask anybody. And then an evil spirit will tell you, you know what you do? Anybody that wastes food in this house, you will not eat lunch. Now, you are thinking you are disciplining somebody, but meanwhile, you don't know that a thought has taken you out of charity. It's a weapon of warfare. Now, in the realm of the spirit, it may look ordinary. Are we together? But these spirits, they work every 24 hours. You are sleeping, they are strategizing. You overcame yesterday. They say, why did he overcome our thought yesterday? Why? Where did we miss it? And you are there, oh, you are stunning, you have overcome, Pastor, you have overcome already. Oh, oh, you are sleeping. But these guys, they neither sleep nor slumber. Every day when you give them a blow, they return back to the drawing table and re-strategize. It seems he listened to message too much. That is the reason. Hey, see that white thing in your ear? How can we stop it? That same spirit, are you hearing me? Strategic warfare, that same spirit will now inspire your brother, inspire your husband, inspire your parents. And say, why are you always putting something in your ear? I don't want to see that in this house. A strategic warfare. Or it's because he has been going for that meeting. Let us strategically do something. Make security in Lagos tight. And let them fight in our streets. And then that they won't be able to go out. And when he sleeps, that is warfare. They not tamper with internet that day. And I said, we will hear it later. And you not slept. And Satan will not tell you, actually, the money you are spending to church, if you calculate it in a month, if you sit down at home and stream, you know it's better. Strategic warfare. All what they want to do, make sure revelation does not come, is to reduce man to ashes. You see, every revelation that you receive, it has an equivalent warfare. Satan, Jesus asked, who do men say I am? Everywhere was blank. Peter said, I have the answer. Oh yeah, let us hear you. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey! Flesh and blood has not revealed this thing to you. But my Father which is in heaven. This is how we build my church. That means in that day, Peter was upgraded. It was built to a measure. Some small verses after, Jesus said, I will die. Another revelation came. Messiah should not die. You know, in the book of the Jews, it was written that Messiah should not die. So you know. So some of people, they hold that error that Messiah should not die. I said you are the Messiah. The Son of the legal, you are not saying you are that. Don't ever say that again. It was another revelation. He took Jesus to one side and rebuked him. That means as at the time he was rebuking Jesus, he was too sure and over sure that Jesus was wrong. If Jesus had been right since the day he has been walking with him, for this one time, this man is wrong today. And I have to take him to one side. I don't want to give him public disgrace. Let us stretch it out very well. Never you in your life say you will die. Now that thought is not Peter. He received it, he will receive revelation. And the same way he told Jesus, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. In the same way he said that you shall not die. And when Jesus was seeing it, you know, when Peter saw the first one, he knew it was not Peter. He knew it was from God. In the same way, when he was saying this other one, so another God is also responsible. Call Satan. May we detect Satan. Yeah. You know, that was something that Pastor Thompson said. in some SOS ago. He said every need has a demon or an evil spirit attached to it. No job, there is an evil spirit. No husband, there is an evil spirit. After you get married and you are, there is no fruit of the womb, there is an evil spirit. You get the Peking, there is an evil spirit. Everything around man attracts evil spirit because it's a gateway to reduce man to grass. The guy has been basking in Revelation last night. He just woke up this morning. Oh girl, look at her husband. Look at you. All this while, you will never. Marriage for the past 3 years, no baby. Oh, Rurie, you are the cause of my wahala. I know if it's another, you know, thought will just be roaming up and down. And the essence of it is to drop you to become grass. Now, finally, let us look at, there was something that Pastor T.J. said that really blessed me. Who is a baby Christian? Who is a baby Christian? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said that, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto babe in Christ, because you are carnal. You have strife, you have envy, you have division among you. Are you not carnal, walking as men? Who is a baby Christian? A baby Christian is a carnal, but is a mature Christ in Satan. He's a Christ on the other side. Another thing made him not to connect God. Are we together? You understand what I'm saying? See, when you say can I say carnality? Look at one of the things that Pastor G wrote here. He said, they are working to ensure that their captive do not access understanding. So who is a baby Christian? Is a Christian without understanding. Our maturity in the spirit is just understanding. Can I tell one thing? It is not he who has much more power to preach that is mature. It is not he who has car. It's nothing natural. It is understanding. Once they take understanding from you, in the realm of the spirit, you are nothing. So there is no way we can fight spiritual warfare if we are babies. And to babies, you see, when they want to make believers baby indeed, they will tell him, the real problem of your life is that the reason why you have not had husband and you are 30 years old now is because there is an enemy that is doing you. Go for deliverance. If you go for that deliverance, you have reduced your status. They say you have not moved forward in life. If you go for it in the realm of the spirit, won't it jarank? Do you know the way they demote soldier in the military? You know it's a shame thing. It's better some people, it's better they kill them than to demote them. So somebody whom you are commanding before now become your guy. Are we together? Or somebody who is your colleague that you, the two of you are pally. You know, say, because of the demoted guy. So when they want to demote you, they can influence your parents. Say, you see, there is an uncle in the village that has been doing you. Come and wash. Come and, if you go, they will demote you. In the, because you know why? Because you are falling below understanding. So Satan position physical man, human being, flesh and blood around us to make us think that they are our real enemy. If you stay there, you are already defeated. It's like you are attacking an innocent. I watched a video of a man that dragged his mother on the floor because they said the mother is the one responsible for his misfortune. You hear people that will be keeping malice with their neighbor, not because the neighbor has done anything wrong. A prophet just told them that their neighbor is the one responsible for their mishappening. They keep me bound. And the essence of everything is so that you can become carnal. Who is a carnal man? A carnal man is a grass. So I am praying in the name of Jesus Christ, that this week as you are going, you will overcome.
Yeah.
You will overcome those thoughts that come to accuse God in your heart. You overcome those thoughts that makes you feel unfulfilled in life, despite you have revelation. You overcome those thoughts that weakens your work of charity. You see, this world is highly regimented. The air is filled with evil spirits. And all what they want to do is that they want to make everybody carnal. Have you grown up before? They don't want you to grow again. And if you are making up your mind to grow, they will discourage you. And if you are running too fast, they will slow you down until they put you on halt. Then it has taken reverse. That is the mission. Now, can I tell you, the present heaven of man, are you hearing me? It was actually made for Adam. Shall you remember? It was made for Adam. Adam was made little lower than the angels. But the guys that are feeling where Adam is supposed to stay now, they are much more, they are higher being than man. So what I'm saying that our heaven is densely populated, is highly super saturated with these spirits. And all what they sell is what thoughts. Now, they sell those thoughts from that realm to build a system called this world. They are higher than this world. They are rulers. They don't cry over what you are crying over. They don't use vanity to survive. Their own vanity is higher than the vanity that is disturbing you. Are we together? That's a point I want to say. We must be aware that the realm we are is highly saturated. There is no space in the realm of the spirit. Everywhere is highly regimented and manned by warriors to make sure man don't think God. They want to make sure that you don't think revelation. You see, the system of this world, the workplace, the academic system, the economy are tightened by this spirit. So that all your life will always be looking down and down and down. Because the more you look down, they stay up. They stay up. What I want to say is that there is nothing that is happening around you that is ordinary. There is nothing, there is no coincidence. They bubble your car, it's not coincidence. They hit you, a downfall driver hit you, it's not accidental. The bus conductor abuse you, it's not accidental. Everything that happens around you as a believer under revelation is not ordinary. Everything is strategically positioned to bring you down, to reduce your rank and to make you grass. But we will be wise when we begin to see that nothing happens to us by accident. They are calculated. I want us to pray. The Lord will give us wisdom to fight our warfare. We will be, Pastor TJ, thank you. So you made a statement, sir. You will be wiser than your teacher. Who is your teacher? Who is your teacher? Who are those that are teaching you? Is it Holy Ghost? Within a week, how many times do you receive lessons or teaching from the Holy Ghost or from this other teacher called principalities, powers, rulers of the heavens of the world and spiritual wickedness? I want you to pray, make me wiser. I want to overcome Satan. I want to overcome my enemy. Those thoughts that pull me down, those thoughts that makes me to feel bad, those thoughts of condemnation, those thoughts of not being fulfilled in life, despite receiving revelation, those that cast despise upon revelation. Lord, I receive grace. I receive grace. This week, they will not drop my rank. This week, I will not drop from my realm of glory. This week, I will be more honorable because I will take greater thoughts. I want you to pray, Lord Jesus Christ, let my heaven be hijacked by the thought of God. Let the spirit of wisdom and revelation, let it rest upon me. I want to overcome. I want to ascend. I want to reign. I want to reign. I want to have dominion in the realm of my thoughts.
I want us to pray. I sense some people are going through tough time in their thought realm. Can we cry to God? Lord, deliver us. We pray for our brethren who are being weary by this evil spirit. We pray, Jesus, our Lord. We are praying. I want us to take little time to pray. Deliver us, Jesus. Deliver us, Jesus. Send help from Zion. Send help from heaven. Only you can save us from our enemy. Oh, he said, thou by thy commandment has made me wiser than my teachers. Oh, Jimaraga Baba 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 Baba. Emratata Sabatenia. Onjalie Kekelagala Baba Baba. I want to cry, Jesus, deliver me. I want to be free from this captivity. I want to be free from this torment. I want to be free from this oppression. Deliver me, oh God, from these oppressive thoughts. In Jesus' name we are prayed.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you. Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for the